when I got eliminated from Idols, that's the feeling that I felt rejected. I felt like I was not good enough. My dream is over. Am I not talented enough? Is there something wrong that I'm doing? Or is there something wrong that I did? I had a lot of self-doubt that I had to fight. I'm not saying don't ask about the money, but like when they ask you about the money and how much you want to charge, it must match up to what you can provide, kind of demands. But your work and your ethic and your talent and your capability is not matching up to the invoice. No, it doesn't work like that.
Do you really think if I speak openly about my plans, there's high chances of them not happening?
So now we're being spiritual.
Yeah, let's go. Kabazel.
Kunjani futhi.
Hayi no, ngiyaphila. Thank you so much for joining me and honoring my invitation. I really appreciate your time.
It's a pleasure, man.
I really appreciate it. I'm excited that you're here, you know, because you're someone that I've been following for some time.
Years, actually. Probably 3-4 years now.
3-4 years,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, and I've been seeing your work.
Yeah.
You know, I've been seeing your work. And one thing that one can't deny about you is that you are very stylish.
Oh, man. Like, well, thank you.
Where do you get that from now?
You know, I was actually thinking about that a couple of days ago. Yeah. Funny enough, because 2 weeks ago, my parents got married, which I praise the Lord for.
Yeah.
So I was styling them. In fact, I was styling both of them, and I could hear my dad like telling me what he was wanting, like specifically. Oh. I'm like, okay, so I get it from this guy, you know, where I'm just
stylish.
Like, yeah, he's very stylish.
Wow, man. That's nice. That's
yeah.
Nice. How is life 9 years after Idols?
You.
Is it nine or a decade?
My goodness, bro. I even forgot about that.
Yeah, how's life though after Idols?
Ooh. Let me take a second.
Yeah.
For me, life has been a roller coaster of good moments, a roller coaster of bad moments as well, because being on that platform brought a lot of change, which I was not prepared for, if I may say. Instantly, when you step on that platform, you become well known. You become a sensation to others. You become an idol to others. You become this fresh talent to others, and you are then wanted, like everyone wants to have you, or to have like
just a piece of you, just to know you.
Yeah, yeah, to know you. Your social media starts to boom. So like a huge change comes with being on that platform. And for me, I could say that it came with a lot of positives, because I kind of had to work 10 times harder than the normal person who won, or the normal person that made top 5, top 4, top 3. Because during that time of the competition, hey, you are a star. You know, so I got eliminated when I was in the top 10.
You pushed, man.
Yeah. So it was a fighting. I was fighting for my life, if I may say, to be here today.
Okay. So now, if we take it back a bit before Idols, right? Looking at that Sanele before Idols, what was the dream? Like, what exactly did you want to be? Like, or did you know that, I belong on that stage?
Yo, Fitz, you'd be surprised. I wanted to be a pastor.
But you're not so far off, are you?
No. prior to me being in the music industry, I grew up in Duzuma in Durban. I used to go to Roman Catholic church. I used to be Roman Catholic.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be Ufata. Ufata. Yeah, that's how they say it. Because of the influence that was around me at that time, I loved church. Mm. I loved going to church. I loved serving at church.
Nice.
And I remember, there was a question that was asked. It's okay. So who here wants to be Ufata Wasentuzuma? You know, and I was like, me.
Wow.
You know, so from then that passion and that love grew. You know, I was like, maybe I've got the capability to do this, you know. So I kind of was going that route. I moved away from Ntuzuma, and then I had to join a different church. I got saved. And then from there, I went to school in varsity. I went to, DUT in Maritzburg. And then my, dream changed. When I was studying ecological tourism.
Yeah.
But I always wanted to be a lawyer as well. So I was like kind of in that, you know, in that sphere of just wanted to pivot into law so that I can be a lawyer because, I can talk, bro.
Really? And
yeah.
If one doesn't know you, I wouldn't even say that you're a talker at all.
Really?
Yeah, at all.
Why?
I don't know, man. You just have this calm aura about you. If someone doesn't know you, be like, yo, you need to watch what you say.
Yeah.
You can't just out papel. I think, yeah.
Oh, okay. I get that a lot, actually.
So now I see where, because I wanted to ask you to say, yo, idols, this fame, you know, why choose gospel, you know, like, but now I understand you had that influence,
right?
For gospel. So that's where it comes from, from back at home.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So would you say that idols actually changed your life? Would you?
It did. It made me become more resilient. It made me become more, hungry to actually make it. Because I can tell you now that, the disappointments that I've experienced in my life, even after the platform, had pushed me to really just fight. Because when I look at myself in the mirror, I saw someone who always triumphed. I always saw someone who was always victorious. I always saw someone who's extremely talented. And I don't take lightly when I feel like I'm being boxed, or if I feel like I'm being, limited, or if I feel like I'm being looked down upon, actually.
Yeah.
Cause I had experienced that a lot. Even with my colleagues that I work with, in the gospel industry as well. In my journey, like I've worked with people that would not make me feel, appreciated, if that's the word.
Wow.
Yeah. So when I got eliminated from idols, that's the feeling that I felt. I felt rejected.
Ooh.
I felt like I was not good enough. I felt like, my dream is over. Am I not talented enough? Is there something wrong that I'm doing? Or is there something wrong that I did? Mm. Who made the decision? Who qualifies me to be seen as talented or to be seen as a talent? Who qualifies that? You know, I had a lot of questions. I had a lot of self-doubt that I had to fight to come out of. I had to go back home.
Yeah.
Being Sala in Mount Royal, in Guamash. It's a small community of RDP houses. That's my grandma's house. So my mom and I stayed in that house. So having to experience this huge platform, the lights, the glitz, you know, the glamour of it all, the experience that I thought was going to be like life changing for me, that I thought was going to catapult me into achieving a dream of mine, which was to be a musician like this, you know, this great musician who's making money. And I can change my life situation, you know, that I felt shattered. I felt like that was no longer achievable. I felt discarded. I felt not good enough. So I had to fight.
So that was the hard part when the lights, the idol lights were now out, the harsh reality of going back home.
Yeah.
But what, let's speak about, cause you understand you being on that platform, you putting yourself out there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's speak about the importance of young people seizing opportunities and putting themselves out there. Would you be where you are today if you didn't take that leap?
Oh, absolutely not. I'll probably be in the township. Mm. Just going about my day. Not having direction, not having motivation,
mm-hmm.
not having inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? For me, I just feel like whenever you get an opportunity, in fact, when I had come out of Idols and I was not gigging and I was not making money and the people that I used to work with prior, cause I used to work as a BV, which I still do.
What is that?
Is a backing vocalist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, prior to me going on Idols, I used to be a BV.
Yeah.
So I would work with the likes of Naima K, Sfiso Ncwane, like in Durban. Like I used to be in the Durban scene quite a lot. And I had to go back to that from Idols. Not that it felt like it was a failure to me, because for me, a part of me was like, I'm going back to what I love. I loved doing it, you know. However, it also kind of like taught me to like snap out of feeling sorry for myself, and just take a leap of faith and be like, okay, you know what? You got in a platform, you got in the following, do something about it.
Yeah.
Don't sit with this huge following and feeling sorry for yourself and going back to what you know, which is familiarity.
Yeah.
Rather, let me pivot. How can I turn this situation around. So that it can propel me to where I want to be? So my advice to the younger generation that is following me or following us is the fact that whenever you are given an opportunity, don't rush for money first. Don't look at that aspect first. Rather seize the opportunity and showcase your talent, showcase your skill so that whoever is in the room will see you.
Yep.
In fact, you'll get more out of just doing what you want to do in that moment without caring about the reward.
Yeah.
Rather, just do it.
Money will follow.
Yes, 100%.
It always follows.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And I'm glad you say that, because these days you see a lot of young artists, once they think going viral or being on TV, they've made it.
Mm.
So what does it really take as an artist like to build like a sustainable career? Like,
consistency and longevity. So a lot of people may know me and they may see me, but they don't know me and my story. Mm. However, they can ask themselves, hey, well, we always see this guy everywhere type of thing, you know, doing whatever that he's doing. For me, it's consistency in what I do and being great at it and praying to God to sustain me and to give me the capability to put my best foot forward, you know, so that I can have this longevity in the industry and the visibility, so that when I decide to do something of my own, you'll be familiar. It's, oh, okay. Actually, I know this guy, you know. Wow, he's now doing his thing. You know what? Let me support him, you know.
Mm.
So I think, longevity and just being consistent in your craft.
Well, yeah, it's so crazy that everyone, you know, because we want to speak more about how people get this success, you know, and stuff like that. Everyone that I've sit with here, it's not a coincidence, man. Mm. Like, they all speak consistency. Mm-hmm. So that is the recipe for success. Mm. So, like, I'm gonna put you on the spot.
Oh, no.
what are like the do's and don'ts in this music business, you know? Because I know there's probably a lot of young talent that like are stranded, but they want to be in that business. So with your experience, what would you say like are the do's and don'ts of this business?
Just to be clear, for someone who actually doesn't like know exactly what I do, because I do a lot of things.
Yeah.
I do a lot of things.
We're gonna get to them. Trust me.
But like, especially if you want to get into the music industry, the do's is again, consistency.
Yeah.
Be consistent in your craft, sharpen your craft. Like stretch yourself. Yo, I've done a lot of things to stretch myself, even things that I'm not comfortable with. You know, there was a point where I had to sing in theater, you know, and having to act as well, you know, having to dance at the same time. Like, I'm not a dancer, you know.
But don't you think that helps? Like, you discover
it
yourself.
It really does, you know, because it just kind of challenges you, you know. So, please be consistent. Please stretch yourself. Take on the opportunity that is given to you to stretch yourself and to see what else you've got under your belt, you know. What else? Always be on time.
Oh,
yeah.
I like that one.
Always be on time. We spoke about time earlier on, and it's a reflection of who you are and how you actually treat yourself as well. If you are told that the rehearsal starts at 9 a.m., be there at least 15 minutes before the actual rehearsal starts, so that you will be sitting and you are ready to work by 9. For those who work with me and for those who know me, I get agitated when people don't start on time.
Yeah.
I get very agitated because I'm just like, you guys, I had to wake up at 6 a.m. in the morning, get myself ready, so that I can be, because I know that there's traffic. I know that there's a lot of factors on the roads. There's police nowadays. Yay, I'm a police. You know, so they're doing their job. So they could be, I'm out of blocks.
Yeah.
You might never know that what you may encounter on the roads. So be on time, you know. Also, we spoke about money as well. I know that from what is presented, it may seem as if like, but it's there for those who have, you know, really worked on their craft. So don't come in the space. Don't come in the beaving space and want money. You want 20,000 rands, 30,000 rands. I'm just hypothetically speaking, you know. Rather just do the deed, do the work, and be great at it. And then when you are asked about, I'm not saying don't ask about the money, but like when they ask you about the money and how much you want to charge, it must match up to what you can provide.
Yeah, what you're putting in.
Yes, it must match up. You can't demand. You can't have demands, right? But your work and your ethic and your talent and your capability is not matching up to the invoice. No, it doesn't work like that. It does not work like that. Also, if I may like let you in our space.
Please.
So we have a lot of new faces that always come onto the scene, which is great because it means, you know, the work is being done, you know. However, there's a lack of respect for the craft. There's a lack of respect for the craft. Because now new people come in and find they get to be, you know, in the midst of like the greats. You know, great for you. You deserve to be here and all, yeah, well. However, and then they just want to think now because they've been in that scene, and they now hear, they hear. Yeah, like sifigile. No, guys, it doesn't work like that. Yes, you hear ufigile corner. You are doing your thing. We appreciate your talent. And we love you. However, have that humility, have that humbleness so that it's going to be easier for those who make the decisions to call you in and be like, yeah, we want this person because you know what? We had a great, working relationship with them or we worked, you know, kahle. So let's bring them in again. No, the mistake that they make is just coming in and then coming in and just being like so overwhelming. No, relax. Be humble, and take it as an opportunity for you to grow so that you can have that longevity in the industry as well. So that people would want to work with you and actually pay you what you're due. Don't come in the space and be inconsistent and be disruptive and don't respect time and then expect for you to make it.
I like that you said that. I don't know. I hope I articulate this proper. Right? Is it? Do you think it's wrong for someone? You see what you just said now. You know, like be humble. Mm-hmm. You know, wait your turn. Yes. Put in the work. Consistent. Now, would it be wrong for someone to say no? I'm not gonna follow what the recipe that everyone has been following to say, oh, it took me 5 years to be successful. Mm-hmm. It took me 10 years. Mm-hmm. I want to do it now. Like, do you think it's wrong for someone to have that such high ambitions?
It's not wrong.
Yeah.
But there's a borderline. There's a very thin line of you being a passionate and being arrogant.
Oh,
there's a thin line of being passionate and having that humbleness and that drive and that oomph and, you know, the enthusiasm to change the norm, maybe, you know, or to make your presence known. But there's also a very thin line to arrogance as well, because for some people, they may feel you're coming on a little bit too strong, you know? You're coming in a little bit too strong. So I don't know. We don't know if we want that. Yeah. So there's nothing wrong with you being passionate about your passion and wanting to really just make your mark. But it's just important how you execute that. It's very important.
Because, you know, some people will take that and say, oh, no, they're just scared of competition.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You know, do you think there's that element also of trying to gatekeep?
Not that word. Gatekeeping. What's gatekeeping?
I don't know. I think from what we're talking about now, I think like gatekeeping is wanting it all for yourself.
Yeah.
Not wanting to open doors for other people or guide them correctly or always wanting to be the one on the spotlight, not wanting to make room for others. Even if you make room for others, but you still want to be the main for guy, sure. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I think that's what gatekeeping is for me. You're not openly opening your heart to embrace new talent.
Sure.
Change other people's lives. It's all me.
For sure. Yo, man, that's a tough one. It's a tough one, but it's not a tough one because Whether you gatekeep or not, your time will come where it's like up. Your time is up. And there's going to be new people that are going to come on the scene. There's going to be people that are going to do greater things than you did. Fine, I can understand when someone is feeling a little bit threatened, maybe, if that's the right word. If there's like new talent that are, that is coming in on the scene and they feel like, oh no, their place is, you know, is in jeopardy or something, you know. I can understand that, you know. However, even the Bible speaks about there's a time and seasons for everything. So you can't always want to be in season. That's not possible, you know? So the best thing that you can do, if you feel like you are a gatekeeper is actually embracing new talent and give them the platform. If you've got the platform, give them the platform, you know? Maybe what you could do is just advise them nicely, advise them correctly, and just take on the role of being, a bigger brother, sister, and just embrace new talent and rather just, like inspire them. I don't know if that makes sense.
It does, because for me, I feel like that's the cancer that we have.
And yeah.
I feel like, also with the conversation that, I had with Nota, he mentioned that why would I want to advise you so you can be better than me?
Hate it.
You know, so for me, I feel like, yes, that's the cancer that we have.
Mm-hmm. Man, I promise you, you can try to block others. You can try to even, speak ill of others so that they won't get the opportunities that you feel like you deserve.
Mm.
Trust me, your time is going to come. Your season is going to come where it's up.
It's done.
Yeah, it's done. Oh. And you, when that season comes, you have to be very content in your life. You have to be proud of what you have done. You have to be proud of what you have contributed.
Mm.
You have to be proud of what you have given others, you know, because you don't want to be bitter. You don't want to be out of season and bitter. I think that's the worst place to be in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's the worst place.
Talking about bitter. Talking about bitter. Yeah. We both know. I don't know why I'm saying both, because I'm not even in the music industry. But from what we've seen, it's like we know that the music industry can be a bit brutal financially if you're not planning your stuff right.
Yeah.
So what's the strategy like to stay afloat as an artist, basically? You have one, maybe let's talk about your strategy.
My strategy. Yeah.
Not generalize you with everyone else. Yeah.
Okay. So, for me, I'm a songwriter as well.
Ooh.
I've also got a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
That I'm growing. So I do behind the scenes vlogs of like the events that I'm a part of.
Oh, by the way, yeah, I saw your, is it the United Tour?
So, yes.
Congrats on that. Watch that.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it, man. So I'm growing that. However, I've got a publishing company that I've partnered with.
Oh, nice.
So they make sure that my my royalties. Yes.
Oh.
Yes. I make sure that my royalties are set.
Yeah.
If I write songs for artists, I make sure that the documentation there is proper. I'm registered to Sampra, all of these organizations for musicians, so that I can have like generated income that comes into my account for life.
Wow.
And I've also got I've got a business.
Nice.
Mm-hmm, which I'm working on at the moment, actually. Nice. But I'm not ready to to
disclose.
Yeah, to disclose yet.
Opetelo marketing.
I know. It's just that it's a little bit tricky, because I don't want to say I've got a product and then people are not going to be able to access it as yet.
Do you also believe in, like, whatever that you plan, or whatever that you have planned, or things that you want to execute,
mm-hmm.
do you believe that, you know, people say, you know, keep it to yourself, work on them in silence, and then let people, why is that? What is this thing about energy? Like, do you really think if I speak openly about my plans, mm-hmm. there's high chances of them not happening?
So now we're being spiritual.
Yeah, let's go.
Now we're being spiritual. Yeah. Even the Bible speaks about you just keeping quiet and minding your own business.
Mm.
And I've seen how a lot of plans of mine would crumble before I could even execute them or put them out there, because I'd prematurely spoken about them out of excitement. Mm. Whether you believe it or not, there are people that are just watching all the time. People are watching all the time. And even demons are watching all the time.
Ooh.
Okay. From what I have been taught and from what I know is that the devil can't know what you're thinking unless you say it.
Mm.
So the moment you say something, that's when he's like, aha, actually, let me get into work. Let me attend to this. You know, yes, it's good to manifest. In fact, we have a lot of things today because we've manifested them, right? Mm. We've spoken them into existence. However, you need to have faith. Your faith needs to be very formidable for those things to materialize. Otherwise, the devil is going to fight you, man. And he's going to make sure that the plan that you want to execute is going to crumble.
Mm.
So hence that I promise you, a lot of people have nice ideas. They've got brilliant business ideas. They've got brilliant, projects that they want to start. However, it just never seemed to come into reality because we speak things prematurely. So keep quiet, my brother.
Mm.
Keep quiet. Wow.
The devil can't fight what he doesn't know.
No.
Right? Nah.
No, he can't. Oh,
that's why they say he hates, people who pray in tongues.
Yeah. Because he can't understand. Yeah.
Confuses everything out of him. Wow, man.
100%.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
Now, you are also into fashion.
Hey.
Lifestyle.
Yeah.
How did you transition to this brand influencing business? You are in that influencer bracket.
Well, thank you,
man. I see your posts. I see all these paid partnerships. I see.
Yeah. You know, that's by God's grace. Yeah. Yo, honestly.
How did you transition to that?
Oh, that's a good question. First of all, I want to shout out to my brother, my older brother, Ulungani Mkhize. He may not know it, but he inspired me, like, growing up. He inspired me to dress well.
Wow. It's a good brother.
Yeah, he is. He is. In fact, in some instances, he would literally buy clothes for me, you know. And that time, he's only 2 years older than me, you know. So shout out to you, Lungo. I love you.
Hey, shout out.
He doesn't know actually, that he really inspired me. Like he would put his pieces together so nicely. He would have the swag, you know? So I learned from him, to dress well and to even like things of quality, you know? I don't compromise on quality stuff.
Yeah, no, like, ways, I can tell.
You know, but for me, transitioning into being like this fashionable guy, I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
Is the fact that I had to realize that now I'm in the public eye.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people actually want to see how I piece my pieces together. And they would comment on it. Bro, I love that jacket that you have, you know? Where did you get it from? Or, bro, I love those shoes. Or even the small things is like rings. They'd be like, yo, bro, we didn't get alcohol. Oh, you
want? I don't know if the camera can catch these shoes, man. They need to see these.
Asian daughter. You know, so I kind of now grew into fashion. I started to love it. I'm just like, okay, cool. I'm a simple guy, by the way. If you note how I put my pieces together, they're quite simple. Very simple. It's either I have like a white t-shirt on with baggy jeans or whatever the case may be, or sneakers, or like you're looking, you know, sharp. Like, I like what you got on.
Yes. Okay, so let me try. Because we're looking up to you guys. You guys giving us pressure here. So that's where, so basically I would say that you have this influence from home.
Yes. Right?
So now, again, putting you on the spot.
Yeah.
And I know you hate that, but your life is in the spotlight. What we see on Instagram, is that the real Sanele, or is a carefully crafted Sanele? Carefully crafted.
It's me.
Yeah.
It's 100% me. That's me.
Yeah.
That's my authentic self, 100%. But I choose what to put out there.
Wow.
Yes. I don't know. Maybe you tell me from where you're sitting, because it's also important for me to know how you see my socials, right? And what I put out there is very authentic. I like being authentic. I want to be authentic. If you look at my profile or my TL, you will see that, no, this guy actually likes looking good. And that's him. He embodies it. He embraces it. There's never an ounce of fakeness in me.
Yeah.
No.
And that's why I'm asking, because you can see it these days. Instagram is like in a whole entire world on its own. You know, it's an artificial world. I don't know what the hell is going on there. Where you see people will literally do it for the gram, and that's not their real life. So for me, that's why, like, it's important for me to have this conversation to say, what we see there, is it true? Is it, because, man, your page looks amazing.
Thank you. What you see there, honestly, like, you'll see that there's music. There's videos of me singing or doing my thing, music wise. There's also a lot of branded stuff, which has to do with fashion and skincare, and just lifestyle, like, you know, just probably me out on lunch at a nice restaurant or whatever, dressed well. That's just me.
That's you.
My background is rough.
Yeah.
Both my parents didn't work for as long as I could remember. In fact, my whole entire life, both my mom and dad were not working. The last time my dad was working was when I was probably like 5, 6, and then he was retrenched, and then he never got to work again. Same with my mom. My mom got into an accident when I was a kid, just after she got graduated, right? So that had affected her health for as long as I could remember. Like my entire life, you know. So I never got the privilege of having a soft life, if I may say. Like, I remember I had to force my mom and dad at one point, because all my friends were going to McDonald's with their parents. and my dad was like not happy at all. Because it's like, bro, so it's a tap in mind. Where am I going to get the money to take you out
then
to?
You don't even understand when they say that.
No, you know? So I told myself that, you know what? Because I know that I'm a liker of things. I like finer things in life. I'm not ashamed to say that. But I won't do just about anything for that. No. You know, everything that I have, I own, everything that you see me put on, I buy. Everywhere you see me go, I can afford. Like, that's just me. You know, even if I'm a backing vocalist and with the money that I make, I take time for myself. I do what I want to do. If I feel like I need to go to sit at a nice restaurant and just order coffee so that I can just have that reflection, that self-reflection, I do it. Fine. A lot of people may say, it's not realistic for them. It's not realistic for them. Because I know where I come from. Mm. I know my background. I know my struggle.
You never had it.
I never had it. You know, shout out to my other family, the Msimangs, as well. They took me in. So my pastor took me in. He was a doctor, and he was fine. Both Umama Mfundisi and Ubaba Mfundisi took me in. They embraced me as their son, and they provided for me. So imagine from...
Yeah, that's a huge switch.
It's a huge jump, you know?
Yeah.
So for me, I felt like, well, I deserve it because that's where I see my life at anyways, you know? I see myself living in a suburb. I see myself... I wouldn't say sipping on champagne because no. But like, if I want to go to Maldives, like that's where I see myself, bro. You know? So I make it a point where I make it a reality for myself. So whatever that you see on social media, if you feel like, oh, Sanele, yo, bro, I had manifested it. I've worked hard for it. I embody it. That's me.
Wow. Powerful. Man, what you just shared now is a bit emotional. I'm not going to lie. It really moved me.
Yeah.
Because as a parent and as a parent myself.
Yeah.
All you want to do is to give the best to the best of your ability.
For sure.
And no one ever puts themselves in our parents' position when they can't do something, for we just get mad, it's painful for them because they feel less.
Mm.
They know that you're exposed to other parents that are capable of doing stuff and you question why mine can't.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, that was a very, thanks for sharing that, man.
No, man, it's a pleasure.
I appreciate you opening up like that.
It's a pleasure.
Now, back to the spotlight.
Mm.
We've seen there's this huge trend right now where all these young kids, they want to be influencers, you know. Now, for someone who is in that position right now, right, you doing this, would you say that market is viable? Is it worth them stopping whatever education? Because that's what's happening. Kids are no longer focusing that much at school and they just want to do this influence thing, and not everyone will be.
Yeah.
So I just want to understand, is that market like viable? Is it worth it?
I mean, it is. It's viable because, I wouldn't say it's easy money.
Yeah.
But like the opportunity to make money is there. You know, and I can understand. I can honestly understand the younger generation wanting it to be a career. You know, however, it's not what it used to be. That's the thing now. The whole influencing marketing strategy is not what it used to be. Before, you would even get like paid to be at an event. You know, your presence was quite golden, you know, because you are coming with value. You are bringing value to the event, to the campaign, yeah. You know. So, rate wise, it would make sense, you know. But now, because it's a very vast, marketing strategy now, sometimes you won't even get you wouldn't get what you're worth.
Do you think it's because there's a lot?
Definitely.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit discouraging. Especially for those who have been in the space for quite some time. Mm. It makes it a little bit difficult for you to be a staple, for you to be formidable, for you to just, what's the word, man? How can I word this in a proper manner? You know, like,
would you say like now having so many of these guys trying to penetrate the market and become influencers, do you think that devalues the worth to say, oh, Sanele, you don't want to do it at this rate. I can get it cheaper there.
I mean,
is that what's happening?
I mean, I think it happens everywhere. Everywhere. If you are negotiating a deal and you say, nah, this is how much I want, and they feel like, let's just get somebody else who's cheaper who can do the same thing, you know? So in that sense, fair too, it's just not the same. So I wouldn't, yeah, it's great for the agencies. It's great for the people in the marketing field, those who want to market the brand. It's great for brands. Mm. Yeah, but it's great for brands to have the more the merrier, you know. But as for us, it's a little bit tricky now. Yes, I wouldn't say, guys, yeah, be an influencer. No, I wouldn't say that. Yeah,
go to school.
Go to school, man. Go to school. Graduate. Let's be proud of you. Let's go to your graduation ceremony. Let's embrace you. Have that certificate, have that background, you know. I don't want to say have something to fall back on, because that's what our mothers and aunts used to say. Would say, hey, you must have something to fall back on.
Yeah, but never said well. Don't you think that's where we miss it? We're losing the principles.
Yeah.
You know, we're living on the edge.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's also okay to say. Say, you know, look, man, have options,
yeah,
you know, so that if this doesn't work out,
right?
Because right now, that's why I'm asking. What I see people going full in
like influencing.
They're not longer taking their education seriously. It's just camera, lights, camera. And for me, it's a sad realization to see, like, hey, not everyone is going to be an influencer,
right,
you know. And the sad reality is that not everyone can be a business person. Not everyone is meant to be an entrepreneur. You know, some people are meant to assist these businesses to grow, and they can also still make a good livelihood out of that. But that's the sad realization. So for me, it's kind of scary to say, okay, what generation are we stepping into? You know, like,
hey, bro, it's hard to look at.
Yeah,
it's very hard to look at, because let's be honest, the time that we're in and the generation that we're in wants fast things. Is this shishai, or like, you know? So one of the other ways is being in this influencing space, because you can get a campaign, it can pay you 5,000 rands, it can pay you 10,000 rands, it can pay you 15,000, 20,000 for just one video, you know? So for some, they see, oh, I can make money quick, you know what I mean? But also, even in that field, Are you going to have longevity? Are you going to be different? What's different about you? What is it that you're offering that would make brands want to have you for a longer period, for years, in fact, so that you can have this income, you know? Because it's tough, you know, having to wait on a payment. After you've done the work, you know, that's the only job that you had done for that month. You check and it's only paying you 3,000 rands. So is that the kind of life that you want? So I just feel like maybe, they need to think about it really like intensely and take a step back and say, is this what I really want to do? Is this, yes, it's nice to go to events. Oh, trust me. Getting dressed up for events, having the Uber vouchers, knowing that you're not going to drive, you know what I mean? Like those perks are nice.
I think those perks is what making people. I think it's those perks.
Yeah, no, but people go to school, man. Yeah. People must go to school. Thank go to you. School, guys.
You guys heard it from an influencer. Go to school.
Go to school, have a talent.
Yeah.
Treat yourself as a business.
Nice.
Don't be apologetic about it. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
So I'm known to be very opinionated.
Yeah.
But me being opinionated, I'm opinionated in my work, in my craft. Because I have this thing that I want to leave a legacy behind, where if someone wants to be a tenor, because I sing tenor, right? If you want to be a tenor, that is able to buy his own car, buy a house and provide for your family, maybe sometimes even buy that Louis Vuitton, that Gucci, go into Zara without having to check the price. You know, I want us to get there. I really do. That's why I don't play when it comes to my work. I really don't, bro. I take it as seriously because this is my livelihood, you know? So some people may think, no, I'm very strict when it comes to my work.
You know what you want.
Yes. You know, if I'm called to do tenor, I do it to the best of my ability, because I want you, to leave out of that room knowing that, yeah, Osanele did his job. Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to pay him that 50K.
And I think it comes back to what we spoke about, sustainability. I think with what you are doing, it's also an investment that you're doing for the future. Yeah. You say, if you're going to give a best experience, the best, version of you,
yeah,
there's higher chances that you'll be called back.
For sure. For sure. You know, it does, we must not, mistaken it with arrogance, maybe.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to work with an arrogant person, you know. Nobody wants to work with someone who's just difficult to work with, you know. You are difficult to work with, yet you're not producing fruits. You check. So rather, people know you to be strict when it comes to your work, and they respect the fact that you treat your work seriously and you take it as a business. And they knowing that they're paying their money's worth, rather than having someone who is arrogant, who's not doing the job, who's you know what I mean. Yeah. So I for myself am like, I would rather be known for that. If I'm called somewhere, they know that okay, we working here. There's no time to play, you know, because those that are coming behind, those are coming after me. They must see inspiration, and they must see that, hey, when it comes to work, bro,
we need to work.
Yeah, we're straight.
Wow.
You know?
That's yeah. dope. That's really dope. Mm-hmm. Now, as your influence grows,
right,
the more responsibilities you get. So I want to know, how do you make sure that you are not misleading the younger generation or the people that are looking up to you when promoting these brands and stuff like that? How do you keep it authentic?
Oh, bro, that is such a good question. Yo.
and I'll tell you why I'm asking this, right? It's because, I mean, we see a lot, like, people promoting stuff that they themselves wouldn't even use those things, or they wouldn't even go there. I mean, I don't want to touch much on this, that incident that happened about people being sent, you know, to...
Excuse me.
Well, what's that place? Where there were these influencers promoted a place Dubai and stuff like that.
Yes.
So that's where I think question is coming from. Yeah, to say, like, as we are influencing and promoting, like, how are we making sure that we are not misleading people?
Yes, in fact. You know? Oh, my goodness. Hey, bro, that's a very good question. First of all, you have to have a foundation. What's your foundation as a person?
Mm.
What are your beliefs? What are your ethics? Mm. What are your morals as a person? So that you wouldn't just do just about anything and anything, right? If I'm being candid and honest, I must say that I think when I got into the space, like in the early stages,
again.
You know, like for me, it was like, yes, let's do it. You know, alcohol brand.
Yeah.
You know, because, hey, it's paying.
Yeah.
Hey, this, that. Yeah. Well, because, the drive was, I need to gain this visibility. I need to, be out there, you know, so that I can be able to gain more, work, of course, you know, until the platform grew, the responsibility grew, and I had to take a step back and say, hey, man, also, my relationship with Christ grew. I was a Christian, Jay. Yes, born again, saved, but still enjoying my life, you know. You know, still enjoying my life. Betting on the fact that, God is going to forgive me, you know. I'll repent. I know God understands that used to be me. Until I had an encounter, I even went to Bible school. I went to Bible school. And then I got to really have this understanding of who Christ is in my life. I had to have this solid foundation that I know that if a certain offer comes to me, even if it's offering me 500,000 rands, which is life changing, I'll have to have the guts to say, "Ish, I'm sorry, guys, I really can't do it," because now I understand that the platform that I have is leaving a message, is pointing people somewhere. You know what I mean? Yes, fine. I'm not gonna dress down, you know. But in my dressing, I've made it a way where I dress modesty. Modest. What's the word? in a modest way.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. You know?
Yeah.
So that when you look at me, you're not offended. I have a tattoo.
Mm.
Let me talk about it.
Yeah.
I have this tat.
Yeah.
I don't know what's your conviction. You have your own conviction when it comes to...
Yeah, I want to ask you because I think you are way... in terms, what do they say? Like a spiritual, to me, you're kind of like a spirit. You're above,
yeah,
spiritually.
Hi, man, you must work it.
So I, there's this chat about
right.
having tattoos and you
yeah.
know, not going to heaven with
yeah.
tattoos.
Yeah.
You know, hey, it's a topic for another day, but
yeah.
you can break it down.
You know, and this is for me.
Yeah.
This is my conviction. This is what happened to me.
Okay.
Yeah. I had this tattoo. You know what? Thank you so much actually for giving me this platform to talk about
yeah.
these kind of things because I just feel like it's important.
Yeah.
So I have this tat. It's written Albertina, which is my grand's name.
Yeah.
She passed away in 2017.
Yeah.
At that time I was 22 years of age, and she was the love of my life. She was everything. She was my second mom. She passed on. I took it very, very badly. So I felt like I needed something that's going to commemorate her. So I just went and I did a tat,
mm.
you know. Years down the line, something convicted me, the Holy Spirit convicted me. Uguti, have you noticed that whenever you are on a particular platform, there's attention that is drawn to your tat,
mm.
and yet you are singing gospel, or yet you are standing on that platform where people are looking at you. Where a younger generation is looking at you. So when they look at you, they see that it's okay for you to have a tat and then still praise the Lord. They're not going to understand where you come from with the tat, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it on you. Ooh. You don't like this tat on me, but my grand, you know. But the Lord said, I don't like it on you. I'm talking about you.
Mm.
I'm like, okay, Lord, I repent. Jesus aranjan. You know?
Yeah.
For some of the people that are following me would know that I've been posting about wanting to remove my tat.
Mm.
It's just my conviction, guys. Please don't get me wrong. Please, ningang shy, ningang bashy. Please, it's just
yeah.
my conviction,
mm.
you know. So my foundation is Christ, but Christ is different to you. He's different to me. He's different to, like, y'all have y'all's own relationship,
yeah.
you know. So this is my relationship with him.
Mm.
And my solid foundation with him says, please don't do this. Please don't do that. Please don't do this. Please do this. Please don't do that. You know? So yes, sometimes I'm very,
mm.
yeah, well, I do my own thing now sometimes. Yeah, well, but that's my relationship with him.
Mm.
You know, going back to your question. So having that solid foundation, it may, so that you can have boundaries as well, so that you can have those ethics that you exercise whenever an offer comes to you
mm.
about anything. You know if it's going to work for you
mm.
or if it's not going to work for you, and also if it's going to work for the people that follow you. A lot of things. I work with people that are very like spiritually inclined, and I aspire to be like them, you know. So I don't want to lack behind because of the offers and the things that entice me, you
mm-hmm.
know, that will end up tainting everything that I'm trying to work towards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Speaking about relationships, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how does your your relationship with God guide your decision making? I mean, in this industry of yours that can really test your character, you know?
It has helped me a lot, having that foundation, even after Idols, because we're going to talk about it. As much as, yes, I was disappointed and whatnot, but I still had hope, you know, and my hope was in Christ Jesus, you know, for just knowing that he's always there, you know. So in this industry, yes, there's a lot of disappointments. There's a lot of mistakes that we do as well. But it just kind of helps. It helps me a lot, bro, just to make the right decision. It's okay. I've come to a place where I even like discern and decipher and choose if I want to do this gig or not. I'm not saying that I have money. No, I want the money. Please, the money must come, you know. But I would rather not starve, but I would rather not do anything at this point where I just feel like
doesn't align.
No. No. Even in the gospel gigs, yes, I say no to some stuff because I'm just like,
why do you mean you say no to gospel gigs? Gospel, shouldn't that be the thing, like, it's holy?
Oh.
Hey, what's that? So there's shenanigans happening even in the gospel industry.
No, at the end of the day, it's work. At the end of the day, it's a business. Yes, it's the gospel first, but then behind it, things need to be administrated properly. You know, it's very important because obviously you don't want to put out a product. No, bro. So what I'm trying to say is, for me, I would rather step back when I know that the Lord has spoken to me about something, and he tells me, no, you don't have to be a part of this. It's okay.
No.
You can't. It's okay for you to not take everything. Let me just say this, Pete and Vince. It's okay to also not take everything.
Yeah, I fully agree with that.
Yeah, it's okay. It's honestly okay. I get it. It's work, and we need the money. But sometimes it's okay to not take everything.
Mm. Wow. But did you ever at some point feel like you had to fit in just to survive?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yes.
How did you overcome that now?
Whoa, bro. Whoa. Especially when you are in new territory, you would kinda want to fit in. You wanna get your foot in, get to know people, and then grow. Right. So, there are a lot of things that I've done that I'm not proud of. There are a lot of things that I've been a part of that I'm not proud of just because I need the money work wise, you know. Sometimes you do gigs, no, this is not for me, but you will do it because, you know, you need the money. You need the money to survive. You want to get your foot in as well, you know. Even sometimes people will just play you in the face, and you could tell, you know, this person is really playing me in the face. But I've always kept my head down. I've always saw, you know, the future for me. I always saw Ubuti. This is where I'm going. It's part of the journey, you know, because if I don't go through this, then who will? What will I tell my children, or whoever that is asking and is inspired by my journey? It can't be all roses, 100%, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow. And how do you protect, like, your mental state, your peace from especially this creative burnout thing? You know, the anxiety, you know, being in the public eye, the stress of, am I still being creative? How do you balance that and make sure that you're still sane? Do you have any probably ritual? I know religion is one.
Yeah.
Is there anything else?
Believe it or not, I love to be in my own space by myself.
Yeah.
In fact, a lot of people think, yo, son, a little busy. Yes, yeah, but busy work-wise. But majority of the time, I'm indoors. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to recoup. I'm trying to center myself. I just make sure that, like, I'm good. You know, I read my word. Well, not my word. I read the Bible. you know, I sing a lot.
Yeah.
I worship a lot. You know, I try to center myself. I pray, just so that I can have that energy. And like, it takes a lot for me to be in a space where there's like a lot of people. I'm sure you can relate as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually do.
Yeah, yeah. It takes a lot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really talk much.
Yeah.
For me, I need to be used to you for me to be comfortable.
Look at that.
And a lot of people, when I say that, like, there's no way.
Yeah.
I don't really talk much. Like, even when I say that, I'm a shy dude, but I hate the idea of being shy.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to, you know, to fight it and train myself to be as comfortable as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see the final product, you just sit there like, hey, this guy is confident.
Yeah.
But there's that internal war which is, but I refuse to submit to like me being shy or anything, mm-hmm. because I do understand that putting yourself out there, mm-hmm. that's what gets you through in life.
No,
you know?
For sure. And definitely.
There's nothing that we're going to do if we keep boxing ourselves in. We need to spread our wings.
Mm-hmm.
So that's literally why I'm
it's so crazy for you to say that. It actually takes like a lot of like internal work.
Yeah.
Same with me, bro. You might not believe it, but like, it just takes a lot of like internal work, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of have to channel myself, you know, I'm doing this. I'm going into this space. I'm going to be meeting people. And you know what? As you had said earlier, that I've got this demeanor where it's like, you just can't come. Gumina, and just, you know, that time I'm like the sweetest person ever, you know.
Yeah.
He's sweet, like, I'm a sweet guy, you know.
Yeah.
So for a lot of people, they already come to me kind of like with an energy because they don't know how to approach me.
I get it.
You know?
Yeah.
So I have to kind of like be like a step, you know, forward, so that I can make them comfortable, so that I can say, no, like, yeah, you good?
You're
welcome. Yeah, let's talk. Yeah, like, you're welcome in, you know, to know me type of thing. Yeah.
Now, tell me, if with all the experience, trials and tribulations, success, if your younger self were to sit across you now, what's the harsh truth you will tell young Sanele about success?
Hey, your questions. Well, I grew up, I was bullied because I was a soft nigger.
Mm.
I was bullied, bro. And it kind of made me like think I'm not good enough to be successful, or if I step in a room, like I can be seen, you know? But what I can say to my younger self is that it was necessary. It honestly was necessary, because I wouldn't have had the resilience that I have. I wouldn't have the boldness that I have. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be as confident in myself. I wouldn't be as sure of God in me. I wouldn't be as talented as I always tell myself that I am. I tell myself in the morning, I wake up in the morning, I look myself in the mirror and I say, bro, you talented. You will make millions out of what everything that you do. Mm. You are enough. You are great. There's more coming. The blessing of the Lord will make you rich and it will add no sorrow to it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. Like, those are the things that I tell myself every morning. When I wake up in the morning, I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this day. I pray. And then I tell myself that you're worth it, bro. You're great. Mm-hmm. As it is, I never saw myself being nominated among Africa's best male influencers. Are you kidding me?
I saw that. I saw the congrats on that.
Thank you. But for me, I don't believe it. Like, as much as that's myself, I know, bro, you're great, but I never saw that coming, you know? So my younger self never saw all of these things happening, bro. I never thought I would be in the same room as abaphathi bami, Ntokozo Mbambo, Nqubeko Mbatha, I never saw myself. I always thought, no Hlanipile Vele, you're an A student, you know, you're doing great at school. But because of that bullying, I just never saw myself as great, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think telling my younger self is that it was all worth it. Even the pain that I went through, it was all worth it. Yeah.
That's powerful. Sad and powerful at the same time, because, you know, right now we have a big issue that the country is facing right now regarding men.
Mm-hmm.
And I sit and I wonder, I think, where did we go wrong? Why are we killing our women like this?
Yeah.
GBV. And sometimes I think it's because maybe we running away from God. Yeah. Maybe we lack something that we can believe in. Maybe we lack guidance. I don't know what it is.
Mm.
But something needs to happen. Right. And you mentioned bullying, not feeling enough.
Mm.
And these are the kind of traumas that we go through and that shape who we are.
Mm.
So I kind of feel like these are necessary conversations that we also need to have as men.
Mm.
Because what's going on right now, it is really not on.
Mm. No, bro.
It is really not on. And we need to check ourselves as men. We need to start having these uncomfortable conversations.
Mm.
I think from my side, it's also important the people that you spend your time with, the kind of friends that you have, because if they can't call you out on your nonsense, then it's not even worth your time being around them.
Yeah.
So I'm just taking this opportunity to just kind of address what has been going on. And as men, it's okay. We need to start talking. We need to start opening up. We need to admit if there's an issue, if there's past traumas.
Mm.
And we are also asking for the society to receive us, not judge us.
Because
I think that's where another issue is. Men are highly judged. So I think if the society can be kind enough to also receive us, that will be better. But something has to change.
No, something has to change, brother.
So now, my brother, talk to me. Now, you are not only just building a career here.
Yeah.
You know, you are really building a legacy, and you mentioned it that you want to build a legacy. So 100 years from now, what do you want the name Sanele Mkhize to carry or to represent?
Ish, bro. I think more than anything, I want to be known as someone who, as much as a lot of my friends say that I'm strict, but I want to be known as someone who really wants the right thing to be done at all times.
Wow.
Just the right thing to be done at all times, because I do feel like we are responsible to make things right.
Mm.
As you're talking about GBV, we are responsible to make things right.
Mm.
We can't be a generation that has seen what our grandparents went through, our parents went through, but also we follow suit to how things were for them. Mm. We need to advocate for change, even in our families, in the environments that we penetrate, the spaces that we were in.
Mm.
We need to advocate for change.
Wow.
You check. So I just want us to do the right thing at all times. Bro, there's no need for you to have a child if you know that you're not ready for a child, and you can't support the child.
True. Mm.
When you can't even support yourself.
Mm. Mm.
You have a choice. That's a choice to have a child and still not being able to provide for them.
Mm.
We come from that kind of a background. Then why do you want your children to go through the same situation that you went through?
Mm.
Or even worse now, because things are much, much worse.
Expensive now, even.
Much worse. You know, having to take a child into preschool, you pay thousands. How much more in varsity? You check.
Mm.
Why are you doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just be responsible. Let's do the right thing. Because now all of these factors will also contribute to GBV. GBV doesn't just speak about women only, also children. You know, you're taking out your frustrations on your children. You're not treating them right. You're not giving them what they need.
Mm.
You're not
because
giving them the love.
Seeing them, it frustrates you now.
Yes. You're frustrated. Your life didn't play out the way that you were hoping. That's okay, right? It's okay. But as long as you're breathing, there's a change that you can come with. There's a change that you can do within yourself. 100%.
Mm. Wow. And those are powerful words from Sanele Mkhize. Wow. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
My brother, I have a tradition here, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So every guest that comes on the show, you see this shiny box. Yeah. We are building legacies, here. So I believe that the words that you shared today, they will help someone.
Mm.
You know, I believe that we have a purpose, us being on this earth. Everyone has a purpose, you know, and the people that follow us can only learn from our journey. And that's the beauty of storytelling, because you are able to help someone not to go through the same mistakes that you did through just telling a story.
Right.
So here, I asked you before coming on the show that you can write something that comes from your heart. It can be an advice. It can be a powerful quote that comes from your heart that you want to leave to the next generation. Mm-hmm. So if you're ready, my brother, you can just drop it for me.
Okay.
Into our legacy box.
For sure. Give a whoop, gunch. There you go, man.
Thank you so much. For me, this is always a special moment, man, because I believe that your words will live beyond this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what legacy is at the end of the day. So thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
Now, I promise you, before I let you go,
yeah,
I have this quick little 5-question quiz game.
Yes.
That I want to play with you.
Yes.
And the rule of this game is that you just answer as quickly as you can. You don't have to think much about it. Are you ready?
Okay, let's go.
Let's go. The first question. One artist you drop everything to collaborate with.
John Legend.
Oh, okay. Okay. Dream stage you'd love to perform on.
Oh, come on, bro. I don't know, bro. Awards overseas.
Awards overseas, okay. Your guilty pleasure song?
How what's a guilty pleasure song?
It's like, you know, you see, you're into gospel, but you know that, this song,
okay.
But yeah, let's just put it like that.
I love John Legend, so Lifted.
Lifted,
yeah,
okay.
By John Legend, yeah.
Faith or Fame?
Faith.
Faith or Fame?
Faith.
Faith or Fame?
Faith.
Okay. One thing fans will be surprised to know about you.
That I'm not as tall as everyone think I am.
come on now. I can see that you're not as tall from your post. Who doesn't see that?
Bro, people think I'm tall. Like every time they meet me, they're like, oh.
No, but also don't sell yourself short. See what I mean?
Yeah.
Also, don't sell yourself short because you're really not short. Like average
height.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Okay, should I say something else? Then I'm very strict.
Yeah,
I'm very strict. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very strict.
I think that's needed. That's needed. Sonele, my brother, thank you so much for joining me on the show and sharing these powerful words. This was I really enjoyed this episode.
I enjoyed it too,
man. And to you guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I don't normally do this, but this time around, I am going to do it. Guys, please, I've seen the numbers. Thank you for the support. The channel is growing. But please do me a favor. A lot of you guys watch the content and then you leave. Please, please double check for me that you have subscribed. It really helps the channel a lot. Thank you so much. This is Success Unscripted with Peter Manjat. I'll see you guys on the next episode.
Before you close.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Before you close, I just wanted to extend something to you.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of you, bro.
Thank you.
I think you're doing a great job, and I think you are really providing a platform for people to share their stories as well. It really does mean a lot. And I wish nothing but success for this podcast, man. I think it's amazing, man. Well done,
man. Thank you. You've heard it. Now go subscribe. Thank you, my brother.
Hi, man.
No, nyabong. This was powerful.
Another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.